The Rose Festival Foundation, who puts on the 100-plus-year-old event, is suffering financial hardship that jeopardizes the long-term viability of the Rose Festival. Offering the Rose Festival Foundation the opportunity to occupy the historic Eon building for a nominal lease cost is an opportunity for the Rose Festival Foundation to improve their financial condition and enhance their visibility in the most fitting location, Tom Call Waterfront Park, where many Rose Festival events are staged. The city will gain by having a long-term tenant who will carefully maintain the historic structure once it is renovated, and it will help stabilize and perpetuate a proud Portland tradition that generates millions of dollars in economic activity in Portland each year. The addition of the bicycle rental facility in Tom McCall Waterfront Park will enhance the enjoyment of the park by its many visitors and offers Portland Parks and Recreation valuable revenues that can be invested in Portland's world-class parks system. Further, the building has always had a use that was unique in relation to the park, and continuing the inactive use of buildings will only serve to further their deterioration. The sooner the city can get long-term tenants who will be good stewards of the park and these excellent historic buildings, the better. The first phase of the historic renovation is currently underway and will include the renovation of the historic reflecting pond, new landscaping that will utilize the rose as a central theme, the building's non-historic awning, the HVAC equipment on the roof, the security fencing will all be removed, and the building will be painted its historic color, which thankfully is not the color that is on it today. Along with the addition of the rose sign, this work will be completed by the May 22nd kickoff of the 2009 Rose Festival. The city is working with a group of design community members and will be renovating the building under the guidance of a historic design plan being guided by a local historic design expert, Peter Meijer. The city will be renovating the building in a way that is consistent as possible with Mr. Eon's original design. At the end of the renovation, I will request that the building be placed on the National Register of Historic Places, which will serve to protect the historic structure's integrity in the future. Ramsey Signs is donating the design, construction, and installation of the sign that will be on top of the building of a rose, and the Rose Festival Foundation has offered to maintain the sign after it is constructed. The rose is an emblem that is well associated with the city of Portland, which is commonly referred to as the City of Roses. This is an opportunity to affix a truly civic icon that Portlanders can identify with on Portland's front porch from now and hopefully forever. We have two members of the Bureau of Development Services that are available to answer questions. We have Jeff Curtis, who is the president of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, who is going to make some remarks, and Ty Kovach, who is going to operate the computer.
Mr. Leonard, could I strike the rule for a moment?
Sure.
Just by way of protocol, we have a former governor who has joined us today, and I think by protocol it would be appropriate if we just acknowledge that Governor Vic Attia is in the audience. Governor Attia?
Nice to have him here.
Welcome, Governor. Go ahead. Who's speaking?
Jeff, why don't you, Ty, why don't you put up, you have some slides.
Yeah, we'll just really quickly run through the. These are the images of the proposed rose sign that would be affixed to the outbuilding at the John Yon building. This is a artistic rendering of where the neon will be affixed. You can kind of see as you look at it. Here is a lighted version that shows what it would look like at twilight. This particular rendering does a good job of showing the color scheme of the neon. And then this third one shows it a little bit better in its context. So that's all I have for the visual.
Thank you. Jeff?
Council, thank you for your support of the Rose Festival. I just want to provide some context to the project from the Rose Festival Foundation's perspective, some of the commitments that we're making, and provide some additional historical perspective about the Rose Festival related to partnership with the city. And that's where my comments will relate to. I've been in front of you before and mentioned some of these. I think it's appropriate in the setting as we are getting closer to kick off the festival, as well as this project moves further along, that provide greater context to it. The The festival defines its partnership with the city since our inception, since 1907. At that time, the mayor called for his colleagues to commit the resources of the great Lewis and Clark bicentennial celebration and commit that to an annual celebration, as well as additional fundraising within our community that would sustain a festival. And obviously, that worked, carried, and has carried through for 102 years. I also want to offer the credit of prior councils, as well as prior leaders of my organization, perpetuating the partnership within the Rose Festival and the city as well, because this goes well beyond me, this council, for decades. But some perspective related to the partnership and relates to this particular project is notable every year when our ordinance comes to fruition. This council and prior councils adopt an ordinance to allow the Rose Festival to happen. That's an incredible commitment by the city, and we appreciate it. But there's examples that are related to city infrastructure and partnerships that go beyond that. And I'll share some examples with you this morning. In the early 80s, the Portland Rose Festival wanted to bring major open-wheel auto racing to the city of Portland, the IndyCar series. Portland did not have the infrastructure to make that happen. Through a partnership with the city, the city loaned the Rose Festival Association at that time money to build some resources out at Portland International Raceway that are there today to attract that international racing series, and it was here for over 25 years. After that initial investment was paid off by the Rose Festival, the Rose Festival made an additional $2 million in asset improvements to that track, bleachers, amenities, infrastructure that allowed that rate, and actually those facilities are still being used. In fact, most recently, this council approved a final gift that ultimately was those assets. So that's one example. There's smaller examples and recent examples related to a store up at Washington Park. The city made a commitment to build a small 600-square-foot store up there and worked on a contract with my organization to manage that store. That store, as of now, has produced over $400,000 in revenue to the general fund for the city of Portland. And we operate and manage that store. I think it's a prime example of the partnership that exists beyond just producing a Rose Festival. Smaller but very notable is our parade cleanup program. This cost the city a lot of money 15 years ago. We worked with the city and the Maintenance Bureau to create a parade cleanup program using the private sector as well, our friends at PGE and Solve, to have a program that's innovative and still is innovative. It's the cleanest parade in the country due to the citizens of Portland cleaning up after themselves on the parade route. Another example of our partnership. And last, our centennial year in 2007, this council was gracious to give this foundation a financial gift that perpetuated and increased our efforts that won us the best festival in the world. And I can tell you that we're seeing the benefit of that internationally as people make commitments to come to Rose Festival in June to see that happen. So why does that? That brings to the context of what does this have to do with this building? Well, it's exactly the same type of partnership. You know, this is an ongoing effort that we're going to be good stewards to the city and good to this community, and this building's going to show that and what it looks like and how we operate it. And I want to provide some examples of what we're going to do as an organization. We're certainly working on a lease right now, but the Rose Festival is going to make some major capital improvements to the building, tenant improvements. It's not a functional office right now. It needs some work. It needs some care. And upon selling our current property down in John's Landing, we are going to make some commitments to improve and get that functional and something we all can be proud of. That's one piece. Randy mentioned maintaining the sign is another piece. And there's also people around this Rose Festival that are part of this you may not be aware of. The Portland Rose Society, the oldest Rose Society in the United States, is going to be stewards of the roses that are going to be planted around this facility, around the building. Just most recently, 239 roses have been donated by Weeks Roses that are going to be planted prior to May 22nd, donated free to the charge to the cause of this project. I think that shows the example and the spirit that through the stewardship of a Rose Festival and the city, that this is working for the taxpayers' benefit. And I want to also mention our friends of John Yon, who Randy Gregg and his team that have provided a commitment to this project to pay for some of the historical preservation efforts that we get this right. So there's a lot of good work being done, and my organization is very proud of that and proud to be good stewards of this building. And I'll close my comments with the obvious, the technical side of the rose. That's an important piece. It ties it all together. The sign itself is the common denominator on this entire project. The intent is to spread a common symbol that unites all of us and reinvigorate a brand, the City of Roses. Our presence in the park will help brand Portland even more, but this sign and the image that translates the message and the rose garden around the building will only reinforce this rose capital aspect of Portland. We have our roses all over the city. We have our Rose Festival. We have our Rose Garden. We have our Rose Quarter. And, of course, we are the City of Roses. But this sign will put it all together in a visible way. I think it's impactful, and future generations are going to appreciate your actions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Question?
Are there people speaking?
No, they're here to answer questions.
Okay. Discussion from the council. Commissioner Fritz.
Are there going to be any public uses of the office space?
At this point, short term, at this point, no. Right now, the immediate impact is just to provide office amenities to the Rose Festival Foundation. Long-term uses have not been established. When I say long-term, more than 3 to 5 years out. The public side is, I can't speak for Albertina Kerr, but that is a public, that outbuilding is going to be used to rent bicycles. So a public rental facility will be taking place on this property.
But will the public be coming into your offices to do stuff?
Volunteers of this, on a normal basis, we have volunteers from the public that come into our office to provide project work and things of that nature. So that would continue in this building. In terms of, if you're thinking of it from a perspective of to showcase our historical pictures and things, it wouldn't provide that at this point in the project.
Could it?
Potentially in the future. It depends on space. One important point is this: we are downgrading our space. This is a significantly smaller space than we currently have.
So you won't be doing any kind of publicity and having people come there to get pick up brochures and get pins and such?
Well, it certainly will have that aspect. I'm answering the question more in the term of being able to wander around the building and see it. The public always has access to, they currently do anyway. They come down. We have a small merchandise kiosk at our current building. That would have it happen in this building as well. They certainly come down and pick up brochures. That's always an option, and this actually is greater access for the public to get Rose Festival information because our doors will be open from 8 to 5 in a normal office environment. So, yes, that piece of it will be accessible. Thanks.
Good.
Can I add one thing that I think Jeff is focused on the interior of the building. There's a courtyard at the building, and the original design had a reflecting pool in it. That's all being restored as part of this for use by the public. So it will be restored in addition to having roses planted around the outside.
And my second question is, why is it important to have the sign this year rather than next year?
Great question. The sign, again, really exemplifies the Rose Festival. And in this economic times, when we're looking to really spearhead and kick off a vibrant festival, it's actually a great beginning of the 102nd Rose Festival. Yes, it could be a great beginning in the 103rd year festival, but from a planning perspective, as we try to kick off this year, especially in light of the discussions about this building, this is the year to do it from a planning perspective, as well as from the all the excitement that's building around, and in the media, of course, as well, about this exciting addition to the Rose Festival. It kind of puts the final component in a sense of immediacy now versus 13 months from now.
Were there any considerations to doing anything else that could be done without a code waiver to do that kind of thing?
I can't answer that. There's none from the Rose Festival perspective. I can't answer that on behalf of the city staff and others, but none from the Rose Festival perspective.
Thank you.
Other discussion?
Lots of questions. So, Jeff, you said the Rose Festival is committed to tenant improvements subject to the sale of your existing building. So absent that, there's no tenant improvements to be made until the sale. And then I guess where is a lease? And I can ask that of both parties, I guess.
Yeah, we have not.
You're ready to move in, but there's no lease.
That's correct. We're not moving in yet. That's absolutely correct.
There's no commitment to do tenant improvements.
There's a we're working with right now on the, that's part of the lease discussion about what those would look like and what the size of those and what the upfront costs would be. And that's still being discussed, but we have absolutely committed that we would make tenant improvements. We were planning on using the resources from the sale of our building to ultimately fund that, but again, the final piece is part of a lease that doesn't exist yet, and we're discussing that with the commissioner's office right now.
And I guess that does lead to other questions I have about, you know, I think this is a great, you know, in concept, I support this, but as I've expressed before, I'm concerned about no lease. I'm concerned about the exposure of water ratepayers to the expenses associated with this. And there's no numbers about what is the extent of water ratepayers' dollars going to this. What is the lease going to look like in terms of respective responsibilities?
If you're done, I'll respond.
Okay.
Commissioner Leonard?
You have asked these questions before, and I've answered them. And I'm happy to tell you again. You asked if you could look at the lease when it was completed. I've said yes. And the reason you haven't seen it is because we haven't completed the lease.
I actually asked to see it before it was completed. And I believe that was the commitment.
And that's fine as well.
Yeah.
That's fine as well. I mean, there's nothing anybody wants to hide from you here, Commissioner Saltzman. You've raised a concern about ratepayer dollars being used in the past. And I've committed to you to raise the dollars separately to do capital improvements in prior council meetings. We've gotten Ramsey Signs to donate the construction of the sign. We have Randy Gregg leading the effort to come up with the design review. And what I've discussed with Jeff that he's agreed to is to the extent that we have to have any out-of-pocket expenses that he can't cover because their building hasn't sold, we will recover those from the Rose Festival Association. So I think we've heard what you've said, and we're addressing that, intend to do just what we promised we'd do.
So you're saying that this is new to me, that you're going to seek private fundraising to do the capital improvements?
That's not what I said.
Okay, what did you just say?
What I said was that I've said to you in prior council meetings, when you've raised the issue of spending money on the building, that we have gotten capital projects paid for by outside organizations, including Ramsey Signs and the historic community. And to the extent that we have to spend money, we have discussed with Jeff that they will reimburse us one way or the other for the cost of actual out-of-pocket expenses.
So is that just for the tenant improvements, or is that for any improvements to the building?
Any capital expense where money has to be spent to purchase something to improve the building, we have talked to Jeff, and he's mm-hmm. agreed that they will reimburse us.
Using the proceeds
from the sale.
Not necessarily the proceeds. It could be built into the lease. It could be any one of a number of means.
Okay.
And then what is the total Water Bureau budget for this project at this point?
We don't have a budget for it. I mean, as I've said, we've been looking for others to help with the renovation. As Jeff said, we've also got the roses donated. And so the amount that we're hoping to spend, whatever that is, on the restoration of the building will be reimbursed to us by the Rose Festival Foundation or other private fundraising.
Well, it just seems, you know, with, again, you know, we're looking at some pretty major rate increases for water and sewer this year.
This is not going to impact rate increases.
Well, you're telling me that, but I guess I'm...
Well, I don't know how many times I can tell you that. I can just repeat what I've said in prior council meetings and today. And if you don't believe that, I guess I can't address that. I'm just telling you what I'm telling you.
I guess I'd like... I mean, it sounds to me like you've got all the terms of a lease. Everything you're telling us should all be terms of a lease. So I'm not sure why we haven't seen the lease.
It sounds like we haven't seen it because they haven't sold their building. They're not prepared to move in. We don't know what the total potential out-of-pocket expenses are to build into the lease. We've talked to them about any expenses that we have to be recovered one way or the other. That's all part of the negotiation. I don't think it's...
But you are prepared to move in.
No, they're not prepared to move
in. The building is not... We can't even inhabit it. Now, I don't know if you've been in it recently, but it is absolutely...
Yeah, I've been in it, but not...
Not appropriate for an office. We can't physically move in.
My understanding
is moving until by May 22nd. Either.
Oh no!
Oh no way!
No,
absolutely not.
No,
we're talking late fall at this point. It's okay. The timeline keeps moving backwards
or longer.
Okay, well,
correct.
I didn't understand that.
No,
yeah.
we're just doing the exterior of the building to prepare for the opening of the Rose
right.
Festival. The interior of the building will have boards that people can see through the windows of the future appearance okay. of the building, but the building interior is going to take possibly even into next year to get ready for them to move in.
So we have on the record the legislative intent to...
And they're not moving in until we have a lease.
Correct.
So legislative intent...
I didn't understand that.
The legislative intent is that capital costs would be reimbursed by the Rose Festival or donated or proceeds would be
right.
fundraised
exactly.
some other way.
Some other way.
And as I understand it, the reason why you can't do it tentative, you can't do a lease right now is it's some ways off before you would move in and you're in the process of analyzing what interior work needs to be done.
That's correct.
And from that will then come a lease before you can take occupancy.
Correct.
All right. Any other discussion from council?
So none of this will be in the water ratepayers?
No.
None of this expense?
No.
And none of this will be loaded onto paid for by water rates? Any other discussion from council?
I had some questions for development services.
Yes. Okay.
The waiver of the, well, I guess first of all, the waiver of the sign code includes waiving the changing image sign requirements or permitting it. I guess I don't understand what's a changing image about.
I can speak to that. The Made in Oregon sign has a reindeer on it. Every Christmas on the reindeer, a red light goes on the nose. Inspired by that, what the Rose Festival thought would be very iconic is only during the Rose Festival period, there will be white LED lights within the petals of the rose that will blink. So that during the period of Rose Festival, it would, when you saw the rose, it would be clear that the Rose Festival was occurring. All other times of the year, it would be a solid red.
And the rose is larger than our current restrictions on changing image signs? Is that why that's also waived? Is that...
I'm going to have to ask.
There's a size limitation that's waived.
That's correct. Sterling Bennett, BDS, supervising planner. There are limits. Where changing image signs are allowed, there are limits on size. Changing image right. signs are not allowed in... on sites that have non-conforming uses, mm-hmm. unless it's a sports field. So therefore, any changing image sign, regardless of size, would be prohibited on this site.
Okay, and then have other people sought us to change our sign code, to waive the sign code for storetop or rooftop signs?
I did a quick look of our records, and I found no records of requests to change, to provide rooftop signs in the last 20 years. There were some changes to modify existing rooftop signs.
Mm-hmm. And so the changing image, we're not talking about a reader board of any kind. Okay, thanks.
More questions? Commissioner Fritz.
So I'm following up on that question. Would it satisfy your need to have the white lights not flash? I was on the Planning Commission when we
did the
changing
image. I don't know that I have a need to have white lights.
And there was a lot of concern about the danger to motorists being distracted by changing image signs.
Of reader boards, because people would read them.
It was actually of all changing image signs, and it was really contentious. So I'm wondering if it would meet your need to have a designation that, yes, the Rose Festival is on, to have the white lights just stay on during the Rose Festival.
Oh, and not?
And not flash.
Oh, I see. I mean, this is Jeff's.
That makes the whole intent was to have it illuminated differently during the Rose Festival. There's a special lighting every year, so 15 years from now, the rose gets lit in a different way. Whether it's,
I don't mind doing that, but I would not want to do that on the fly here. I would rather look at what that means. This is I've seen a computer image of it. It is not what one might think of as typically would be on a reader board. It is very subtle and not bright. I mean, it's not a big deal.
You know, for what it's worth, I got hundreds of emails on another sign issue we discussed recently that people may remember. And it's amazing how many people Rudolph's nose was the most important part of that discussion at holiday time. And
that sign blinks too, by the way.
Yeah,
it flashes.
My understanding is we're trying to create something iconic. And frankly, there's a larger context we should also acknowledge here, which is these have not been the best of times, Jeff, for your festival. Your festival has been struggling for a lot of reasons, like big festivals and other cities are struggling. And what we are also talking about here today is a new partnership where the city is saying your success is important to us. And that's the, I want to make sure people understand that context. This is not just a building, just a sign. This is actually a rebranding and a relaunch of something we care about that we're actually at risk of losing if we don't support each other better.
Correct. Thank you.
And if I could just add, Douglas Hardy with the Bureau of Development Services, in the body of the ordinance, it does indicate that the that element of the sign will be limited to twinkling lights on the sign during the time of the Rose Festival. So that may help to some degree in terms of it, you know, a concern of it becoming it what you were referred to as a reader board.
Wouldn't twinkling count as changing?
It, by the code standards, yes.
We had the staff look at this from, I mean, I personally wasn't sure that it fell under that provision. The staff thought that it did, so we wanted to be very cautious and careful to make sure that anything that we did met what the standards were of BDS to make sure we got the appropriate approvals.
So why don't we pause and contemplate on the issue of to twinkle or not to twinkle and take public testimony? How many people have signed up?
Two people signed up.
Okay.
We have Joseph Rendy and Richard Potestio. Come on up.
Good morning. Welcome to the Portland City Council. We're glad that you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, and the clock in front of you will guide you through your 3 minutes.
Great. I'm Joseph Reedy. I'm an architect and urban designer here in Portland, and I don't speak before the council very often, but I would like to thank Commissioner Leonard for making a great deal happen. I appreciate your dedication to this building. We all look forward to its restoration. But I'd like to urge the council to separate the sign from the restoration and not to approve the sign. The three waivers that the sign requires are unnecessary. The sign severely diminishes the architectural integrity of the building, and I think it's a mistake, and it's a mistake that we will regret for a long time to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rick.
Hi, it's Richard Potestio. I'm an architect here in Portland. And I concur with Joseph. And in light of the architectural caliber and importance of the On building, and in light of debates that have raged over signage both in years past and most recently, I think this proposal for this sign is rather unfortunate. I ask, is this sign going to be iconic or ironic? And will Portlanders embrace it as they have the one downriver? Maybe they will. But sign or not, I wish to commend Commissioner Leonard for securing great tenants for the building and for engaging in its restoration. It's extremely important that this building be restored, and I would hope that our icon would be to respect it. Okay.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi.
Hi, my name is Brian Libby, and I'm a journalist here in Portland, and I write on freelance for the Oregonian and some other publications. And although I'm here later to speak about the Rose Quarter issue, I wanted to reiterate what these gentlemen are saying, in that it's wonderfully commendable to the council and Commissioner Leonard that there is a plan in place to save this building. It's designed by one of the two or three most important architects in the city of Portland. But again, with all due respect, when I heard that there was going to be possibly a neon rose on this building, I just absolutely cringed. And I feel like, you know, we might as well put Eat It Joe's on it or something. It just, everybody is very familiar with the Rose Festival and the Rose Festival Foundation, and they absolutely deserve our support and to be championed and to be recognized. But I just would like to implore the commission to consider restoring this building in a way that does not include a neon sign. It just feels very much not of Portland. And I, in my heart of hearts, believe that John Yon, the original architect, would be rolling in his grave if he knew that a big neon sign was going to be placed on top of his building. And I just feel like it's very crass, and I'm against it for that reason. But I say that within the context of being very supportive and appreciative to Commissioner Leonard and everybody involved in trying to restore this building, and thank them for that.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Anyone else wishes to testify on this issue? Pete?
Yeah, I'll leave my bag down.
We're going to call you Repeat Pete today.
Pete Bolton. And I should clarify that I'm not speaking here as a commissioner for Elders in Action or the chair for the Public Safety and Livability Committee of the Northwest District Association. And I do want to thank you, Commissioner Leonard, because 16 months after you did away with duct tape, As I walked through the city, because you guys know my nickname is Pedestrian Pete, I saw the duct tape still on the ground. We all know that what goes in the ground goes in the river. Thank you for that. Thank you for this effort, too, because this building is lovely. I agree with the architects. I live with an architect. And all of my gay sensibilities are going off right now saying, please do not put a sign on top of the building. It's like, oh, my God, how Estacada. It's like being in Alabama. It's like being in Alabama and taking a six-year-old girl and dressing her up and putting her in a beauty pageant. We just don't do that here. But we do need a sign. I say let's put the sign to the side of the building. Let's light it up for the Rose Festival. Maybe take it down during the rest of the year. Because I do love the idea of something that is iconic, you know, that's important for our city. Mayor Adams, a question for you, please, in terms of this vote. I went to a meeting with State Senator Bonamici and Mitch Greenlick, and there in a wheelchair was a man who, after the meeting, came up to me and said, the reason I'm in the wheelchair and the reason I lost my leg below the knee is I was hit on the sidewalk by a bicyclist. And it was really disheartening. Well,
Pete, I have to manage these meetings fairly for everyone, and you have to stay on the agenda topic.
Well, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. This is exactly with that. Since there's going to be a bicycle rental facility in there, it's important that pedestrians, elders, and children are protected. And I would encourage you, please, to do something in this when you vote that says that we need to follow Oregon state law, which is this, that when on a sidewalk or where pedestrians are is in a shared road, bicyclists may go no more than the average rate of speed of a pedestrian, which is about 2 to 3 miles per hour. That would be very much appreciated for public safety in terms of this. And thank you all very much.
Thank you, Pete.
So, Mayor?
Yeah.
I think it's important just to clarify something, if I could have a colloquy with Commissioner Leonard. Commissioner Leonard, there's two structures that are at this site. One is what we typically think of as the John Yon building, which is the main building. And there's an outlying structure, which is a kiosk. And the kiosk, if people had a chance to read the ordinance, has been leased to Albertina Kerr Centers, which is going to be running an enterprise business using rental cycles. So I just want to be clear that there's the proposal that's before us does not contemplate putting the Rose on top of the main Yon building. It is an accessory building that is at the corner of the property. And it is surrounded by area that is public. In fact, public will have access to. So I just want to be very clear about
that. Thank
you. All right. Additional council discussion on this matter?
Well, I guess I would like to.
Sure.
There was another lady back there.
Oh, is there someone else that wishes to testify? Please come forward if you didn't sign up. We have three chairs available.
The idea of this.
You just
this,
need to repeat Rene your introduction
Garcia
of.
Is my name.
I got to wait for people to sit down.
Sorry, sir.
All right, so it's just give us your first and last name, and you have 3 minutes. Sir.
Rene Garcia, and I'm basically questioning the sign. It's kind of a grab bag. You're going to have people liking it. Some people don't like it, obviously. But the architectural integrity is going to be intact. Adding the Rose to just give attention to the Rose Festival, which is part of the intention to do that. So I don't see what the problem is there. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Ma'am.
My name is Jane Jarrett. I need to be clear that I am not here today representing the Architecture Foundation of Oregon, of which I'm the executive director. I am here representing myself as a resident of Southeast Portland and someone who loves my city and loves my Rose Festival. Commissioner Leonard, I also commend you for putting this deal together. I think it could not be a happier situation to have the Rose Festival inhabiting this great space that we are glad to see saved and in this important part of our city in Tom McCall Waterfront Park. But I also concur that the sign is totally inappropriate. For one thing, personally, I sort of feel like having that neon there in this park doesn't seem like the right thing. Were it on the other side of the street in the commercial area, perhaps. For another, it seems totally out of proportion to the building itself, whether or not it's on the main building. It's kind of overpowering for the building. And then we can all argue forever about whether it's attractive or not. I personally don't think it is. I also think that were John Yon here today, he'd probably be throwing rose thorns on the table about this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, sir.
Hi, my name is Sam Williamson. I'm a local landscape architect, and I when Rick was talking about this, I sort of expected him to say this, but the whole idea of modernism was to reduce ornament and to create a useful, clean, and it was a whole aesthetic based on simplicity. And to add a decoration, an element of decoration on top of it, seems contradictory to the whole movement. And thank you, Mr. Leonard, for Commissioner Leonard, for doing this. I think it's a great project. I just think that the sign is doing something so different than the building. If it was disassociated from that and placed on the ground elsewhere, I think it would be everything. It could do everything that you want it to do and work with the architecture too. But then I also disagree that the fact that this is an accessory building means it doesn't really matter, because the whole thing is of a piece. It's a composition. And just because, you know, the arm of the statue is far away from the body doesn't mean it's not part of it. That's all I had to say.
Thanks, Sam. Anyone else wishes to testify? Come on up. And this will be our last two testifiers.
Good morning. My name is Don Sterkel. Commissioner Leonard, thank you very much. I think this is a wonderful idea, but I would disagree with the sign being on the building. However, it would seem that if this is a branding situation and we are looking for something iconic, and a suggestion might be that it would be placed somewhere across the river so that it would have a viewpoint from the entire waterfront park, including, in fact, if there's festivals and things going on at the river, you would be able to see this larger, probably, sign or rose. And I know there's financial constraints and whatever might be part of it, but it would certainly give a greater viewpoint and become truly iconic of Portland when tens of thousands of people are gathered at the park at any given time for a festival. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
City Council, thank you. My name is Samuel Lemsey, and I am not in favor of the rose with the neon lights. I understand that there is a need to promote what Portland has to offer, and I think that that's very important to the city of Portland. I just feel that it doesn't look right, and I feel like when you have something that's famous and you want to recognize it, you should do it in a way that really brings it to light and not in a neon light. Again, you know, the city of roses is Portland, and it's pretty famous. And just like to Seattle, Jimi Hendrix is famous and pretty popular. They dedicate a statue that's mounted on the ground. My proposal will be not a neon light, but maybe a statue of a rose that can represent us in a different way, but get across the same meaning. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. All right, council discussion.
I could just point out a couple things first, sure, based on the testimony. I want to remind folks that the building up until a week ago had a neon sign on the side of it, the same size as this sign that said McCall's. It was actually permanently affixed to the building. And in addition to that, the building is painted only what I could characterize as neon turquoise currently, as opposed to its original color, which is actually known as John Yon Blue. There currently is, getting to kind of the clean lines of the original design that people talked about, there currently is an exhaust fan that sticks through the roof of the building that can be seen from literally miles away, including HVAC equipment. There's dry rot throughout the building. We're going to correct all of those deficiencies. I appreciate the comments made here, but I do note that the design community doesn't like neon signs. In fact, the owner of the current Made in Oregon sign, who is in the design community, said if he had his preference, he'd remove the Made in Oregon sign. So I understand the resistance, but I think there's a broader community here that actually will appreciate, and I actually don't think it was fair to characterize this as a Joe Hamburger sign, or I don't think it's fair to either Estacada or the Rose Festival to refer to it as a something that belongs in Estacada. I think it will be an iconic image that will be as embraced, and people will feel as protective of after it's up as they do the Made in Oregon sign eventually. So again, I appreciate the Rose Festival and what they do, and I very much defend their vision for this building.
All right. Additional consideration by the council. Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, I would like to propose an amendment that would be a, go on the last page, it would be a paragraph, subparagraph G, that I believe reflects the discussion that was happened today, and it would state no water ratepayer dollars shall be used in the design, construction, or operation of the office at 1020 Southwest NATO Parkway. And if I can explain my intent, I think my intent is clear. I think if the Portland City Council wishes to assist the Rose Festival, it should do so as it has done in the past by appropriating money from its general fund. My concerns about the use of water ratepayer dollars is I don't think there's a nexus between the charter restriction that water ratepayer dollars shall be used only for investments that relate to the development of clean water and delivery of clean, safe drinking water. So that would be my amendments. It's not to rule out council support. It's simply to say, and I believe this reflects the intent Commissioner Leonard suggested, that we don't use water ratepayer dollars.
First, let me see if there's a second.
I'll second that because I'd like to hear what Commissioner Leonard has to say about it.
Commissioner Leonard.
Well, as we've discussed in prior council sessions, Commissioner Saltzman, you brought this up. I mean, if you're approaching this from a purist point of view, I'm a little struck. Because I'm not sure why you then wouldn't argue that all of the Simon Benson bubblers, which are the historic water fountains throughout Portland, owned and operated by the Portland Water Bureau, aren't included in your motion. I'm wondering why you're not expressing the same concern about the Portland Water Bureau maintaining all of the fountains, the civic fountains in the city. I'm wondering why you don't have a concern about Dodge Park, which is on the confluence of the Bull Run and Clackamas or Sandy Rivers in the Bull Run, which is a public park owned and operated by the Portland Water Bureau. I'm not going to agree to the kind of language that you're suggesting because, in fact, there may be times, as is I told you in prior council meetings, where we're utilizing Water Bureau crews when they have downtimes, when they actually have to go out and find things to do. We're taking advantage of those downtimes right now and have them do work on the building. So in the strictest sense, for some reason, you would want to hamstring the Water Bureau from taking advantage of finding efficiencies in work crews now to help restore historic buildings. So I don't really understand what you're getting at or why this consistent concern in the face of me consistently explaining that it would be our effort to have every rock not left unturned to find resources to help restore the building. But in the final analysis, we may have to spend money because the Rose Festival hasn't sold their building and we may have to wait for them to reimburse us. And your ordinance would actually prohibit us from doing that. And your approach is virtually unprecedented in the management of the Water Bureau. And I might add the Bureau of Environmental Services as well, which does much of the same stuff.
I guess I offer the amendment because I thought you just said earlier there was going to be no water ratepayer dollars involved in this.
I said we'd get reimbursed earlier. If you want to listen to the record, I said if we did spend it, that we would look to be reimbursed by the Rose Festival through either the lease or either when they sell their building.
But again, this council will never see the lease.
I've repeatedly said to you, I will show you the lease repeatedly. I don't know how many more ways I can explain that to you. You're free to look at the lease.
Well, if I could jump in, I Commissioner Saltzman, I have great respect for your focus on protecting ratepayers, although as we know, the Public Utility Review Board has called out tens of millions of dollars, both at BES and at Water, that they have identified as not strictly speaking related to the core mission of the utility. And this is a big discussion. I mean, there are those who don't think it's appropriate to have the Bureau of Environmental Services be charged to create a fund for public financing of campaigns. Now, perhaps someone could explain to me how that is directly related to the mission of the Bureau of Environmental Sciences. There are people in our community who don't think it's appropriate for the Bureau of Environmental Sciences to fund youth employment programs. We could go on and on. I think you have raised philosophically an important point. I think it is a mistake for us to do this on a case-by-case basis. I would recommend that if this issue rises to the level of such significance, we do a council informal at some point. We talk about this as a policy matter. My concern, though, is doing one-offs and putting a handcuff on one bureau or another when, frankly, we are completely inconsistent on this, and we've already had representations made by the commissioner in charge. So, respectfully, I'm not going to support this, but I would support an effort to look more globally at this question.
Well,
so,
I think
Commissioner Fritz
wants.
Yes. And then Commissioner Fritz, and then I'd like to move to a vote on the amendment.
Okay. Well, I would just say, go ahead.
I don't hear all that much disagreement, and I'm wondering if we were to table the amendment for right now and work on it between now and the second reading, that there might be a way to get to some agreements on what I hear most people saying.
But it needs to be a broader discussion, Commissioner Fritz. I mean, it's not fair to pick on the Rose Festival as an organization all of a sudden when there are many more, I think, unrelated activities that occur from these from BES and water.
And that's what I heard Commissioner Fish say, and I think that what's the intent is on this one to make sure that we know who's paying for what and when, and I don't.
But I'm just saying, right. If we're going to do that with these guys, then there needs to be the
so
broader discussion.
Your second has suggested that you table this amendment. You have the final word here.
Well, I just want to respond to Commissioner Fish and the discussion. Each one of those exceptions to the rule has been specifically authorized by the City Council in the past.
This is not a specific.
I mean, we're sort of.
Do you want to table your amendment?
And it was suggesting tabling it until
bring something
on the second reading.
Yes.
Sure.
Would that probably be helpful to have a discussion about that? I mean, if you would have raised this with me before today, I might have been able to find some way to accommodate your concerns. But when you raise it just to council, it's a little difficult to work it through.
Mayor,
I raised these exact same issues
last time we had this.
Mayor, the amendment's been tabled. I move the motion.
Do I have to, on a tabling of the amendment, what's the procedure?
No, I move the ordinance. Excuse me.
I haven't had my turn
to
talk about it.
She has an amendment as well, but I appreciate your effort to move things
along. We have a lot of people here waiting to hear, to be heard on another matter.
I agree with you. We're moving things along here, Commissioner Fish. What do I do with in this situation?
If he's determined that he wants to table his motion, then it is tabled, I don't think.
Automatically tabled. We don't have to take any action on it.
I don't think you do. He's essentially taking his motion back, withdrawing before vote. I would point out, just because this is not an emergency ordinance, that if any amendments are made next week at second reading, we'd need a third reading.
Commissioner Fritz.
I would, again, in the next week, request that we split the ordinance into the two pieces, one authorizing the office use of the space and the second on the waivers necessary for the sign, because I in no way want.
Let me see if there's a second for that motion.
Second.
Okay, go ahead and speak to it.
Thank you. We had a good discussion about the use of this building for an office space for the Rose Festival when we agreed to the transfer, and so that to me has been well fleshed out, and I'm ready to support that. The second issue on the sign, I believe, is a more fundamental one for me in terms of public process, that we have a process to make amendments to the code, to have the Historic Landmarks Commission review signs on historic landmarks, and this is designated as a local landmark. And we should respect our citizens who, like the two earlier today, volunteer their time on commissions to give us the expert advice. And I'm not comfortable waiving several aspects for the sign without hearing from our citizen experts and having a broader discussion on that. And so I'd like to separate the two pieces of the motion, of the ordinance.
I think the underlying substance of this issue has been well discussed by council, so I'd like the council, with their permission, to move to vote on this amendment. Carl, would you please call the roll on the proposed amendment?
Fish?
I'm going to vote no. I'm also, at a later date, going to come back to my colleagues and propose a more rational way for substantive amendments to be circulated before council. It's not a comment on Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman, or any of my other colleagues, but I do think that our discussion on these issues will be enhanced if we have some prior notification of substantive amendments. And I think there's actually a way we can make these council deliberations even more dynamic by doing so. I appreciate the concern that she's raised. but I believe this is a well-balanced package, which I intend to support, and I'll explain the substantive reasons why I intend to support it when it comes back on the underlying ordinance. I vote no.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
No.
Fritz.
Commissioner Fish, I was planning to vote no on the entire thing until we came to the hearing today and heard the testimony from folks, and I'm now comfortable in supporting the office uses, and that was why I proposed my amendment and didn't bring it forward before. So I vote aye on the amendment.
Adams.
No. Amendment fails. Unless there's further discussion on the underlying ordinance, it moves to a second reading.
Mayor, just for the public, this will go to a second reading, so it'll be picked up next week. And just so people understand, there are some instances where we give our comments the week before. I think on this one, I think our sense is we'll hold off to next week and make our comments.
All right, this moves to a second reading next week. Carla, would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 425?
Establish the duties and responsibilities of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and amend code to reflect Bureau title.
This is a second reading and vote only. Would you please call the roll on Council Calendar Item 425?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Item 425 is approved. Would you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 426?
Accept grants from Federal Highway Administration through Metro for local economic stimulus funds not to exceed $14,691,106 to keep Portlanders working and assist in the city's economic recovery.
So through a competitive process, decision makers across the region divided up the federal stimulus money related to transportation coming our way. It comes with the expectations about turning dirt, getting the projects actually under construction very quickly. And so these are the projects that met the criteria as ready to go. And Greg's going to give us a little more detail on what's involved.
This is a different process than we normally take with our agreements with ODOT on federally funded projects. As the mayor has indicated, we have some very tight timelines to deliver these projects. So we are grouping all of these projects together and asking council to delegate the authority to the mayor, the auditor, and the office of the director to sign the agreements as they come in. We have not received most of these agreements yet from ODOT, so as soon as they're in, we need to start work. So that is the purpose of grouping them together in this ordinance. The attachment describes the projects that we are working on. These are all core infrastructure projects for the city of Portland. They range from paving projects in Southeast Portland. They are filling gaps on existing projects like the North Going Overcrossing, which is about ready to go out to bid. Lighting projects, Bike Boulevard projects, repaving the Springwater Trail, and transit improvements in the downtown area. So as you can see, there's a very substantial amount of work here, generates almost 271 jobs, hopefully more, and will retain jobs as well in the construction industry.
Discussions from council or questions of Greg Jones? Thank you, Greg. Anyone here wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item 426? All right, could you please move to a roll call?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I want to say good work to the mayor and Portland Bureau of Transportation for getting these stimulus projects up and ready to go and getting the funding from the federal government to move on them. Aye.
Fritz?
I agree with that. This is really great. Just to reiterate, it's over $14 million of federal money with no city match required. And for those who are in the business of construction and want to get in on the bidding, you can go to Portland Online, and on the very front page, Mayor Adams had made sure that there's a direct link to show you how to do that. Aye.
Adams.
I'm proud to be the beggar in chief for transportation projects. Thank you, President Obama. Aye. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 427?
Authorize sole source acquisition and pre-development agreement and authorize sole source acquisition of an operating agreement, both with Peregrine Sports LLC for Major League Soccer and AAA Baseball Stadiums, pursuant to ORS 279B.075 and City Code Title 5, Section 5.33.120.
Mayor, before we begin,
yes,
I think there was a request to read with item 431.
Makes sense. Can you please, Carla, read the title for Council Calendar item 431? And would Mr. Janik please come forward?
Adopt findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process for development of an MLS stadium and a AAA stadium pursuant to ORS 279C.330 and City Code Section 5.34.810 and 5.34.820.
Good morning, Mr. Baer. How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome. Good morning, Mayor Adams, City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases. And I'll keep my remarks brief because I understand there's a number of people signed up to testify. But before you, we have two different council actions. Item number 427, request council's approval to execute a sole source agreement with Peregrine LLC to execute a pre-development agreement and an operational agreement for developing and operating the Major League Soccer Stadium and the AAA Baseball Stadium. The sole source justification was posted on our website on April 7th. To meet our requirements for 7 days prior to today's hearing. We did not receive any protests whatsoever. The award of the pre-development agreement to Peregrine, we believe, should be exempted, primarily based on the fact that Peregrine is the only entity that holds both franchise agreements. And the ordinance, I believe, articulates the various reasons that we believe justifies the sole source procedure. The award of the operating agreement, in addition to the pre-development to Peregrine, also should be exempted from competition requirements of state law and city code on a sole source basis on the same findings. While we understand that there are potentially other companies that could operate both stadiums, there is no other entity that will operate and also make a contribution toward construction costs at both stadiums. Let me move now to agenda item 431. The ordinance, again, as you recall, back on March 11th, the council adopted and approved resolution number 36687 that declared the city's support for Peregrine LLC to bring a Major League Soccer franchise to the city. And the request before you is seeking approval to adopt the findings and authorize an exemption from the competitive bidding requirements to do those two actions. One was to provide a Major League Soccer Stadium and a AAA Baseball Stadium. One of the key notes in the findings, as we've provided, they do meet the requirements as outlined in state law and city code. They are the basis for which supporting the exemption from competition and do identify substantial cost savings to the city. With that, I'll stop. I understand there might be some questions related to the procedures and the contract issues, and also we have Jim Van Dyke from the City Attorney's Office here as well.
Why don't we get both presentations out, and then we can have questions. Because
can I just ask, were there any protests received for 431?
There were none.
I also just want to underscore up front that on page 4 of the development agreement, it says the definition of a AAA stadium site means the city-owned location of the AAA stadium as determined by the city council. The site decisions will be made not today, but next week on Wednesday, April 22nd at 10 a.m. Today we're talking here to talk about, receive testimony on the pre-development agreement and the sole source agreement. Mr. Janik.
Well, I'm here as the principal lawyer.
Move closer to the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here as the city's outside counsel who negotiated the pre-development agreement along with the city attorney's office, and I'm mainly here to point out that this does not commit the city to any particular site for the proposed AAA baseball stadium. And if you will note, this agreement authorizes either party to terminate it at any time for any reason, so if the transaction is not working from either side's point of view, it can be terminated. The reason for this agreement is in order to make the April 2011 opening date for the two stadiums, it's necessary to start architectural and engineering services at this time, and we would be prepared to see that work go forward upon the adoption of this agreement by the City Council. So if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Kanik, I have a couple of questions, if I could.
Before we do that, I'd just like to, there is an amendment that is going to be proposed by Commissioner Saltzman. I just wanted to get that out on the table before we get the general discussion. So, Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you may recall, when we last passed the resolution to work with Peregrine, I authored an amendment that was unanimously adopted to remove the $15 million associated with forming a new urban renewal area on the west side as a source of funding for the MLS stadium renovation.